Did you know the top 10 mobile games in the U.S. grossed more than $340 million in June? Do you want your game to earn more? AppFigures is all about giving game makers the tools they need to get more downloads and revenue. You may already know them for analytics and app store optimization. Now, AppFigures can help you keep track of competitors and the game market, from how many downloads they're getting and how much money they're making, to their audience demographics, and even which tools they use to power their games. Their competitor intelligence gives you great context. Got a great idea for an app or a game? With AppFigures, you can figure out how big the market is and how much money you could be making with it. Say a competitor adds a new feature or was mentioned in the news. With AppFigures, you can see if that brought in more downloads. And that's just scratching the surface. Whether you're growing your game or building a new one, AppFigures has what you need to reduce risk and get more downloads. Best of all, you don't need a large budget or data science degree to do this kind of thing anymore. AppFigures has made it affordable and simple. On top of tools, AppFigures also provides a lot of guides and tutorials to take you step by step through gaining more visibility with ASO and increasing your revenue by learning from your competitors. They just released a free guide on that, actually. Head to appfigures.com/on/gamedevunchained to try AppFigures for free. Again, that's AppFigures, appfigures.com/on/gamedevunchained to try it for free. If you like it, use our special code GDU3030 to get 30% off for the next 3 months. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham, and this is a special once-a-month episode of Roundtable News. And that means is I got myself here with Ray Graham, the famous Ray Graham from, yes, the Unity keynote of 2022. What's up, Ray?
Not that famous, but yeah, thanks. What's up? How you doing? I'm here.
I'm gonna gift the shit out of that 5 minute segment that you did over there. It's been a while, as usual. We usually cover game developer news that pertains particularly to game developers, and this is an opportunity for us to give our own individual opinions, not opinions of our company that we work for, so please don't try to tweet at them. This is completely opinions of our own. So before I get into that, Ray, how you doing, man?
I'm here, man. I'm chilling. Just living life.
Yeah, well, the Bay Area sounds like you guys are making some changes over there with your mayors over there, right? It seems like there's a huge push against all the crime that's been happening. Or is that you? Is this just news outlet just overblowing things?
I mean, that's typical media just talking about all the negative things, right? Like making it sound like it's just like some lawless society or something going on, right? And it's anything but that. But yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Sounds like you're safe over there. So let's kind of dig into it and update our lives while we're at it. All right, so let's get into it. All right, so there's a range of topics that from the last Roundtable News, I think if anything, close to the end of 2022, I made some alarming hypothesis. All right, let's just say that. And it all seems to be coming true. Firstly, Stadia, right? Officially closed down. I mean, it was a dying beast, right? If you can even call it that. But just like any Google products that have become memeified, Stadia is no more. Didn't really have a chance before it even began. I think it was 2 years into their 5-year commitment that they said, we don't want to do this anymore. And then they tried to kind of, they proved the technology, right? People were interested. It works, right? And they just couldn't do anything with it because people were basically looking at how eventually they would close service anyways. So the way it kind of broke it down, I don't know how much you knew about it, but it sounded like a lot of developers were finding it out through the news for the Stadia. A lot of employees that were on that team found out as well in that fashion, the day of, basically. Yeah, it was a pretty...
Well, they heard the day of, but it was before the news broke. I know some people that work there, but it was definitely like, I'm like, yo, what's going on over there? We have all hands meeting today, right?
And yeah.
Oh no, right? So, yeah. You know how it goes. But yeah, like I think we foresaw that happen. Like as soon as Games and Entertainment was shut down and they stopped working on their own titles, that was kind of the death knell for the platform. Why support a platform if Google doesn't want to make games for it even, right? So it was kind of writing was on the wall. I set my watch. I was like just waiting for the clock to strike, and it was like
that's what I've been saying.
It was the least surprising news that, you know, that they
so like from what I understood, they completely the technology is no more. Like, what are they doing?
So, like, when they shut down Stadia Games and Entertainment, they made the announcement at the same time that they were focusing on white labeling the tech, right? So, the tech is in, like, Peloton uses the tech for the Lane Breaker game that's on the Peloton bikes, uses Stadia, right? And then there's a few other, the Batman thing with AT&T. And there's some other things that they're basically right. White labeling the tech. Other people just slap their name on it and use the tech, right? And they announced at the same time that they shut down Stadia Games Entertainment. So they shut down Stadia Games Entertainment and they announced white labeling. It was just a matter of time before Stadia, the consumer platform, was dead, right? It was obvious that it was going to happen, right? And so the fact that people were still holding out hope was kind of crazy, right? Because it was like, there's just no way you could put faith in it still sticking around. And then also on top of it, like I think from day one, the business model wasn't the right one. And I think the populace kind of answered with the wallets on that the pricing model and the model just didn't make sense.
Yeah, it does feel like 2022 has been the fall of tech companies tampering with the game industry. Like, this is, you know,
has it,
bro? Like a couple years ago, I was giving sound advice to friends that were looking to exit AAA. I was like, "What are you doing? If you live in the Bay, why are you not going to tech companies? Right? They'll never go away, right?" And here we are. Meta, Facebook is in troves, right? Friends are asking, like, do you have anything outside of here? Like, I'm looking for a way out. Like, lots of people are like looking to exit. Stadia dispersed.
There's a double-edged sword there, right? Because I think you're ignoring Netflix just snatching up.
Netflix is trying their hands at it.
So Netflix is snatching up game companies left and right, paying. Like if you have an indie game company making mobile games right now, Netflix wants to talk to you, right? You know what I mean? Right. There's been a
few Netflix, yes, you're right. Netflix is emerging.
There's been a few big announcements. I don't know what they're doing, I'm skeptical and all that, right? But they're snatching up a lot of game companies right now. And then the Facebook, yes, we're in a hard economic time. And so a lot of people are looking at that E-Trade account or whatever, whichever account they use over on Facebook. And they're like, well, these shares are taking a beating, right? And so it's way, way lower than what it should be. So like, yeah, maybe it's time for me to try to get some shares in a company that I actually have some faith in, right? Because I think you know, Facebook is in the long haul on the losing the money and trying to make the metaverse a thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is worth celebrating that, you know, tech companies haven't completely given up. I mean, the testament of the game industry fortitude has been proven time and time again through tough economic times, right?
Yeah.
With the pandemic, Not only did we didn't recede into a recession, we expanded, right? I was looking at charts this past month where we are projected, you know, we had a record breaking last year and the year before in terms of revenue. We're talking about in the hundreds of billions, right? And now people are projecting 300 to 500 billion by 2026, just by looking at the trending growth of the game industry. And we kind of feel it. We kind of see it. People are, if anything, we, the base for gamers have grown. The culmination of casual gamers are now going more, I think, I wouldn't say hardcore, but they're exploring other options now, right? They're going in other avenues. I see more and more people spending more time playing games, right? It's very popular now to be a nerd, right? We talk about Star Wars, Marvels, and naturally, I think all of it kind of ties in together as like, you know, this is part of our ecosystem of entertainment, right? So it's great that the interests of tech companies before Facebook and Stadia, they, like any new game company, they didn't quite figure it out yet, right? And it is something interesting to me because I didn't really think as far ahead that tech companies don't really have that type of patience. They're used to having multiples of billions of dollars immediately for return on investment. And they usually don't wait around to kind of hope in 5 years' time that they'll start seeing, like, something that I do admire with Zuckerberg, with Meta, is that he is playing the long game. And at first, I think, like him, people were hopeful that Meta would stick around long enough. And maybe they still will, right? But like, man, just lately, it just hasn't seemed to be favorable with their, you know, it's a continued $3 billion loss per quarter, which hasn't changed from the beginning, which I continuously tease about. And we're starting to see like a typical game company where they're not making as much money and they're starting to cut down on toilet paper rolls, no more donut Fridays, you know, in their own very rich way. They're like starting, you know, he straight up, like a couple roundtables ago, I was making fun of how he straight up said, like, there's just some people here who shouldn't be here, right?
Yeah,
I'm seeing Twitter, right? And people like just memeifying Facebook of, you know, because they have a lot of workers there that are young and influential, quote unquote, right? And they're doing a day in my life at Meta, and it's like a 23-year-old, you know, just coming in late, having coffee at the rooftop.
I saw that video actually. I actually did see that video. No, but I'll say this, right? And I think you're overstating the situation, right?
Because I say that every time, but it comes true in 2 years.
because I think Meta is scaling back and trying to hoard money and cut back on expenses. Why though? Right. And the question and the answer isn't because they're spending a bunch of money on the metaverse, right? The bunch of money on the metaverse seems bad now when you also report that your advertising revenue is going down, right? When ad buyers are cutting back on their ad spend because of the economic climate, Apple's changes have also affected the ad business. And so you're seeing not the same amount of growth in the ad business that the investors want to see. And then on top of it, you're burning money doing this metaverse thing that nobody is really believing will be something, right? And it's a huge blue sky bet, right? If the ad business was doing better and you're meeting your expectations and the investors were in love with all the numbers they were seeing, burning the money wouldn't be an issue. Right. And then you wouldn't be thinking about cutting back on staff that is underperforming. You wouldn't be thinking about cutting back on other expenses. Right. The money would be flowing. But it's the economic conditions that then make us look at it differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, economic condition is definitely a factor, but it's been a downtrend with Facebook, with, you know, increase competition, and it's a very old person platform. You know,
that's definitely true.
Just have been dying, you know, been leaving, and you know, Facebook isn't cool, right? Yeah. And so I get the metaverse being like a lifesaver, preserver, right? Yeah. For that company, but in the grand scheme of things, they just haven't been on top of what's cool and relevant, right? That's the biggest, I think, at the heart of it, the problem with why Meta isn't working. Because I'm looking at what they're producing and it's so off the mark, man. Like, it's so uncool. I was looking at Phil Spencer commenting on the metaverse, and he was like comparing Meta metaverse as like, dude, it's just like I'm hanging around on the couch in the living room, right? Like, what's cool about that? Like, what is, you know, it's taking the you know, the entertainment of games and its potential, right? And watering it down to basically, you know, rudimentary shit, right? And which I've been saying for years now, that it's like you're trying to make a metaverse in Zoom, right? Who wants to go in Zoom and hang out, right? Unless we're forced to. And it's exactly what I see in this Horizon world and the calls that are being made, right? I think the bigger question is the content. And like, I also see, like, I'll let you jump in a bit. I'll end it with this. I also see that there's a huge problem with Meta workers, right, being asked to spend more time in the Horizon world, right? Like, their own people that are making their content says it sucks, right? And it does. And if you can't even get the people that you pay for to hang out, right, and basically keep their jobs, essentially, right? Yeah. It's like the metaverse dies, your career here dies, right? Is another way.
Yeah, but I mean, you worked on a lot of games in your career, and you've worked on games that you did not touch, did not play, right? Yeah. And I've always been a proponent of, you have to play the game that you work on, right?
Of course.
And so of course, I believe folks at Meta should be all up in Horizon 24/7. And yeah, and the fact that they're not should tell you that it's kind of whack. But right, I think it's also like, it's just the first step, right? Like, it has to get better. It has to look better. It has to allow for better interaction. I think them just doing Zooms and meetings was just kind of like, well, the tech is there, might as well just use that, right? But really, yeah, they probably should be making games and things that you could, like, interactive games and experiences that you could play with other people in VR. That's probably where they should be focusing, to make it cool and to make it and also focusing on making it look better. But at the same time, they're also working on making better hardware that will power better looking experiences, right? So there's a lot of work they need to do. And I think one of their big things is that they might lack the enough video game folks to help them build these kind of worlds, right? Because video game folks.
Yeah. This is the frustrating thing, right? No matter how popular the game industry have grown, no matter how popular that people just simply playing the products that we make become influential and huge.
Yeah.
Game developers are still like kind of at the bottom of the totem pole, right? Let me explain. Because you look at like companies like Meta, and you look at, you know, it's cool to work at a tech company now, right? And it wasn't always like that, but it's been kind of trendy the last 10 years. Like, I'm hip, right? I'm young.
I don't know about trendy or hip. It's just
the way. Let me explain, right? So like this whole huge group of techies, right, are kind of like changing the world in a way, starting in the Bay Area, right? And they're branching out, and now they're branching into the game industry because they see the numbers, right? The number speaks for itself. It's growing. Mm-hmm. We're still a small industry compared to the numbers we're putting out in terms of success, right? You compare us to any other entertainment industry, like movies, and we're way smaller, I feel. I mean, we're catching up, but in comparison, we don't get the same type of respect. I've been saying this for years, like, where our tech is being used in movies and everything else, right? In non-gaming spaces, right? And although they love our technology, it's not, to me, it doesn't feel like we're like Steve Jobbing it in a way where we're like, we're stepping up and it's like, let us teach the world about how to change the world, right? And let me get to this point. The same way that I feel that there's like this undertone anti-sentiment about what game developers can actually bring, right? I feel that at Meta. Like, why else would you have a shitty game, right, that everyone's pretty much telling you it's terrible, right? And we're at a company that they had fucking John Carmack as an advisor, right? He volunteered his own time when he lives on like just ramen noodles and water, right? He doesn't need much, but he volunteered his valuable time to be there. And like, I want to see this world build out correctly, but I think he's still in an advisory role, but obviously the original Oculus team have left, right? So 2-3 years ago, when that whole team and leadership left, saying that, you know, they're branching out into a different direction, was already a red flag, at least to me and to a lot of people, that they're not agreeing with this direction. And here we are, and it isn't working. And I think at the heart of it, for Meta and VR, they have to tap into what originally made it successful. It's people want to be entertained. It's a proven formula. Let people want to play games that is interesting. And they're doing anything but that. Like, gaming is like the lowest priority. It's a very Steve Jobs attitude towards games. You know, he literally says Apple is not a gaming device. That's not what it's for. And it only works because he's such a genius, right? Where everything else was just working perfectly, right? And then eventually, you know, Apple caves in and embraces gaming as part of its, you know, many deliveries of service, because it does make a lot of money for them. I don't feel Meta have completely embraced that in that regard, where all these keynotes, all these updates that I see, I think if anything, they're avoiding to say anything about games, right? What was the last thing that you guys, you know, what that you've seen from that last keynote that was actually about games, you know, that was actually about Meta's keynote, you know, what the highlight that we saw?
No, the big news at a Kinect was the new device, right? It was the Oculus Pro. And it was
Device wasn't for gaming. It was for non-gaming space, AR, augmented.
But that's the device that does the face tracking and all that, right? So like, you could see how, and the reason why, it's not because you can't get this, they can't make it cheap enough, right?
Yeah.
And so they're like, we can't make this cheap enough, but you can see some uses for this thing. Yet another step along the way does face tracking. A friend of mine was messing around with it, videotaping and sharing it on Facebook. And it's cool. Like I cannot deny that it's cool. I can say that it is costs a lot of money, but I can't deny that it's not cool, right? And so it's like, you know, it's just another step along the way. You said some stuff about like, you sound like you have a big chip on your shoulder about
I always have chips
about video games, right? But like, I think you're just looking at the specific examples like Facebook or whatever. But then Netflix, they're like, we want to do games. Okay, let's hire a bunch of gaming people.
Right? I would say Netflix.
They're not idiots. They know they need people that understand the market and have the connections in the market, right? So
I think Netflix is a, let me say this.
Amazon's still hanging on with their gaming
stuff. Amazon is still hanging. They're the original tech company that stuck it through. Yeah. But I would say this about Netflix. They're the exception to the rule, right? Because I feel like they've always been very forward thinking, right? All the way from how they treat their employees, you know, how they view business, right? I mean, at the very beginning, I mean, they kind of were anti-trending the whole office being like a playground thing, right? They were the ones that, where all these tech companies were advertising, like, you should never want to leave here. They were like, hey, we're about the work, you know, we'll pay you in money, right? But all these pool tables and ping pong stuff, that's not what we're about, right? We're coming here to work, and if you don't want to work, you know, go on vacation for as long as you want. I mean, they're the I think one of the first ones to really open up the open PTO thing, right? So their way of thinking and how they go about it is obviously like a mirror for those to attain, right? And I mean, for a long time, all these game subscription was basically saying that we're the Netflix of gaming. Like they want to recreate that model in the gaming space, right? And Netflix got sick of it and it's like, hey man, like we're the Netflix of gaming. Let's own that phrase and literally do it the way that we want to do, right? And yeah, they did it right. I mean, they experimented with those mobile rollouts, right? Little small games that was available on their apps.
They're still doing that, but
they're still doing that, right? I think that's still one of their biggest push, but they're expanding in a very thoughtful way that I agree with, where there are ways to make games to see immediate, you know, revenue success, right? Without going the long 5-year route. Mm-hmm. I make fun of Stadia, but you know, for their first games to be seeing any success 5 years down the line, it's ridiculous. The AAA model is dumb, right? Like this, not for a new company. It's like, that's not what you should be aiming for immediately, right?
I mean, it's not dumb if you start doing the thing before you announce the product and ship the product. you know what I mean, right? Like if you start building the 5-year thing 5 years before you do your launch of the actual platform, you know, or maybe let's say 3 years, right? So like, so that you can kind of like have some leeway and also have some say into the design of the platform, because you're building a game to that platform and you're first party and you can have direct insight and direct input, and then really utilize all of the cool features of the device. Like, I mean, Stadia could have worked, right? But like none of that stuff was done, right? So like then it's like, oh well, I guess you're not gonna work then, right? So like it could have worked with this different timing, different thought process.
Well, whoever delivered the original marketing vision, right? Who made that kick-ass trailer where you're watching a YouTube clip,
yeah,
and then you click on it, and then you're playing the game right after,
and launching it without those features that really differentiate.
Yeah, they should have made that guy like the main dude. Like whoever thought of that should have ran with it.
I mean, those features came out. That feature ended up coming out like 2 years after the platform was already out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's just too late for
too long, too late.
A differentiating feature that is like, otherwise without those kind of features, it was just, oh, I'm playing my console in the cloud.
Yeah. Right? Just so like any other service.
I have to be down. Yeah. I have to be down with playing my console in the cloud. There was no other feature that made me say, oh, I have to use Stadia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And I always feel like platforms always have to have those differentiating features that make me say, hey, okay, yeah, I wanna be on that platform.
Well, let's kind of expand further into the Netflix thing, right? So what do you think from what you've heard, what you read? I don't know if I have friends working there. I do see a lot of LinkedIn announcement lately that, you know, we're at Netflix now, right?
Yeah.
But not someone immediate. I need to reach out and see exactly what that partnership is like. Yeah. It's exciting, you know, always, I'm always looking forward and celebrating any type of expansion of places for game developers to work at, right? That's amazing stability for any reason, right?
Also, with Netflix, it seems like they're building the content, right? Like so they are
off their IP, right?
They're buying up IP, buying up studios that make games, releasing whatever they have right now immediately on mobile devices. And then who's to say that the next thing won't be a cloud streaming game, right? On Netflix's service, right? So
oh yeah, it's because they pioneered that whole thing.
Yeah, so like the fact that these games are the way you get them and they're mobile games and all that, like it's kind of janky, right? And it's kind of not the greatest way of like getting the content, but it's I think it's pretty much a no-brainer that they're building a cloud streaming service. and buying up all these game companies and IPs, their next thing will be cloud first games running on a Netflix service, right?
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I think that's a no brainer, right? Like I don't know anything, but that seems like a no brainer to me.
I don't know anything, but I'll act like I do. It feels like they are, yeah, like yeah, you said, yeah. The whole thing about these social engagements, media engagement, it's just hours spent, right? The more they have, yeah, more of your hour. I mean, they originally famously said that their competition isn't Amazon Prime, it's not Hulu, it's Fortnite, right? There's TikTok. More people spending, yeah, yeah, on these. No, gaming specifically is a threat to them because the more time people spend gaming, the less time they are watching Netflix.
Same right? Thing with TikTok, right? People spend all day on TikTok.
People, yeah, I mean, that's more of a threat to Meta, right? That's, yeah, more, you know, social media threat. Netflix isn't looking at TikTok as, yeah, it is like a factor.
Anything that takes people's time is
of course
is always a threat. Yeah,
but they're not building like a social space for Netflix, right?
No,
I don't know how,
but they have to build a compelling service that people will use
exactly
instead of being on TikTok,
right? So gaming is like seems to be their next foray and super exciting because they have a lot of IPs to play with. They're buying a lot of IPs, right? I think out of everyone they're gonna be a major player. I mean, Xbox recently had like numbers come out and it's working for them, right? The Game Pass have increased subscribers dramatically. Let me find the numbers. I had it saved somewhere. But their day one releases of like very good games strategy have been working and de-emphasizing, you know, the old way of buying $60 games, right? And funny enough, the opposite effect is happening with PlayStation. As soon as they started, when they changed all the tiers, right? When they used to only have one tier for PlayStation, they changed it last summer or something. Yeah. They've lost 2 million subscribers since on the PlayStation front, right? Mm-hmm. Because their whole thing is, well, it's working, selling $60 games. We want to have basically a theater run of these PlayStation hits before even thinking about, you know, putting on the server, which makes sense because they are winning in that way. Mm-hmm. But that basically deprioritized PlayStation as just an added accessory, right? And not like and needing any of their focus, right? It's secondary, right? And the gamers aren't responding to that. It's like, why?
I don't know if I agree with that, right? Because I think,
well, look at this, right? Still, if I compare it to two servers,
still the most selling games.
Their games are awesome, $60.
The hardware is still the most sold.
Yes, console, but like, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know right?
what you're talking about.
They're making money in other ways, right? They're making money in other ways, right? Yeah. Cloud gaming is not PlayStation's thing, which is fine, which is they're okay with. But because of that, they lost 2 million subscribers, which is a lot, obviously.
I don't know if they lost 2 million subscribers because they're not a cloud gaming platform.
They lost it because they changed all the tiers and they de-emphasized their focus to it. Like, here's the difference, right? Yeah. When I go to Xbox,
they changed the tiers, but the subscription I had on PlayStation, they changed the tiers. Like, it was literally unchanged.
Yeah. Right? So basically, it's right? still there, but like the added services are. Well, here's the thing, right? This is, I guess, at the base of it is what I'm saying is that when you go to Xbox Game Pass, there's obviously it being a priority, it being a focus, right? You can find it on your computer. You can find it on your phone, right? It's available basically anywhere you have a tablet, basically, right? So that alone shows me as a customer, like, this is something I can buy into and not feel like it's going to go away anytime soon, right?
Well, it's not just that, right? Game Pass is the best deal in gaming, period.
Yes.
Like, it is the best money to value that you could spend in gaming. And that's why people flock to it, right? But if you want to play the best quality games that are out there, you absolutely have to have a PlayStation.
Yes. So I do like PlayStation balancing it out where they're starting to really put it on PC. But I don't have a PlayStation 5.
Exactly. And then PlayStation.
And I love the PC ports.
PlayStation's plan to start bringing their games to PC, like, should have Microsoft sweating a little bit. Although,
yeah,
the business model there is PlayStation just wants you to buy those games again, right? And then they're not going to hit PC until they've milked it on their main.
Right. It's like end of life cycle type of strategy.
Exactly. So you always got to wait, right? When Microsoft is like, nah, man, first day it's going to be on PC and it's going to be free because you've paid for it through Game Pass. That's an incredible deal. But the games that PlayStation are making, you will gladly pay for because they are way higher quality, right? And until that changes, right? Like, I don't see PlayStation as an accessory. And I'm not even a PlayStation fanboy or anything like that, right? Like, it's not an accessory. Like, it has the best games.
Yeah.
Right. And Microsoft is the best value, right?
Best value. Budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you see Netflix? Do you see them as being just a third player that isn't in competing in the same space, same way that Nintendo is right now?
No, I think they're competing in the streaming space is where Netflix is going, I think.
Well, currently it's all mobile. We're not seeing AAA yet, right? Are you saying like some of these studios that are being bought are making AAA games eventually?
I said streaming. I never said AAA, did I? Oh, okay. Right? Like anything can be streamed, right? It doesn't have to be
AAA. Yeah, but when I play streaming games, like there's a flavor to PlayStation, Xbox, looking for AAA. I'm looking at AA games at Xbox.
I mean,
but Netflix Stadia, is like a different type of game.
Stadia had Bomberman, like streaming, right? Like, so like, and I think Netflix, also like when you think about Netflix, right? Netflix is main destination right now is people's TVs, built-in apps on the TV, right? So like what kind of device people have to play a game with, like if you're doing like a streaming game, let's say, if you want to integrate it into the Netflix experience, right? Like they have remotes, like that's a limited thing. And maybe like more simple mobile games fits that demographic better. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm just speculating, right? But maybe it does, right? Where Stadia was like, oh, we'll ship you like a fancy Xbox controller and do some fancy Wi-Fi stuff and you'll be able to control your game. Is Netflix going to do that when they do the streaming thing? Maybe, right? But also maybe their strategy is, you know, real simple mobile games that you could play with on your remote, right?
Mobile games are definitely a very profitable sector. Proven. And they're smaller.
Throw some ads up in there. Oh boy. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they're starting to finally change it up where they, you know, their lowest tiers add Hulu style, right? You can watch Netflix with ads, which is about time. And they're starting to do like stop the family sharing thing, which is kind of like their like trump card.
Yeah,
there's of like raising profits.
They're cracking down on people stealing.
Yeah, which you can't hate. I mean, like they've been generous enough for a long time. So it only helps their business, obviously. Producing, if anything, great original content all the time.
Yeah.
Still think it's a great value. You know, it's not like we're advertising for Netflix, but we do recognize great products, and it's helpful as a game developer to be having that as a resource. And you know, they're doing it right, I think, in terms of harvesting game developers and game companies in a healthy way, right? They didn't go out announcing like Stadia does, basically saying that we're going to change the world, right, in 5 years and then like copping out in 2 years. They're doing it very smartly, deliberately, and saving a lot of face if it doesn't work out. But I think obviously it's working, and then taking very small, concise steps that I think every game company and publisher should approach games in that way. It's a very different type of entertainment and requires a lot of time, commitment, and most importantly adjustments, right, along the way to make it work. Just look at Amazon, right? they took a while, but I think they're finally coming into their own. I still admire them, man. Like seeing all these other tech companies kind of crash and fall after being so inspired, right? Really makes me appreciate Amazon over time. Of like, wow, they really kept at it, man. It's like they still around, you know, just a small hit once in a while, but it really encourages a lot of, I think, game developers to keep looking ahead, right? I would say it's been good the last 7-8 years. The last time I felt like it was feeling grim was right before the Apple iPhone came out, right? That boosted the whole app store, the game store, and mobile gaming. Yeah. I felt like there was a good period of AAA studios or studios that we were looking to work at just closing left and right every week. And I was like, what is going on with the industry right now? So, you know, since then it's just been growing and all these potential opportunities keep popping up.
Yeah.
And, fostering potential good talent.
You said something about too, like all these tech companies crashing and burning, right? Like, let's get it straight. All these tech companies are making tons of money, right?
Not from gaming.
Even Meta is making tons of money, right? But they're just spending a lot of money too, right? But like, and what makes your stock prices go down a lot in this current economic crisis is when you say, oh, we're not hitting the numbers we want. We wanted to. We're not showing the growth that we want. But a lot of them are still making profit, right? Sure. But they're just not hitting the numbers they say they would hit, and therefore the stock takes a hit, right? So make it sound like, you know, Zuck is about to get hauled out and the company goes down. And
yeah, man, you can't you can't be calling yourself a rich man and then you're spending more than you make. It's like, no, that's homeless.
No, but I'm saying they're making profits, man.
Not as much as before. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody posted like a little infographic of all the you know, the revenue that comes in and then the cost that goes out based on the quarterly earnings of all the top companies, Facebook, Google, Apple, right? And I think somebody else, right? They showed the infographic and you see a whole lot of red where money's going out, but they're still green. There's still profit, right? So we have to, you know, we have to like just take a note of that. It's like it's hard times for them because their stock price is going down, but they're still making tons of money, those companies.
Yeah. So you're saying Zuckerberg is not going to give up on this Meta thing because I think he's
pocket, like as we say. In gambling, he's kind of pot committed at this point, right?
Well, I mean, it's just, to me, it's life preserving, right? He's grasping at straws. What? Like the tone of a few years ago of saying, hey, this is going to be a 10-year investment. Mm-hmm. We're in it for a long haul, right? And that was at the tippity top of the mountain of basically mountaintop of cash. Right. Facebook mm-hmm. was still very relevant. They were having record, you know, breaking profits at that stage. And then 2 years later, fastly, we're like looking at emo Zuckerberg talking about how basically some people shouldn't be there. Right. Him messaging out like a picture of like a sorry ass Horizon World graphic image and then quickly like remedying that with a better looking image, like he's reacting to baby about people's reactions, right?
Well, he was saying like it's gonna look better in the future. This is what it looks like today.
But to me, that's a guy who's getting more and more desperate a lot faster, right, than it seemed 2 years ago. So like if I look at the trajectory of someone crashing and burning, I don't know. It's like it just reminds me like I was at that bad game company, right? And someone was asking me, what's your 5-year plan? And I'm looking around, I was like, I don't think you guys are gonna be around 5 years, right? And it feels a lot like that in that way, where it's like, I don't think you have 10 years, man. Like every day, constantly being criticized, people are leaving Facebook, right? there's a decline on almost every little graphic that they're seeing. Yes, maybe they are spending too much, right? Yeah. But it's a decline. You know, the net decline is there.
Yeah, I think.
And how long, right, does he really have?
I think we have like a mirror that we look at things through, right? Yeah. And my mirror is like, you know, my Twitter feed and people I know, right? And I think it's just fashionable right now to
shit on them,
dunking on Facebook right now. Right. So
yeah, it is
fashionable, right?
And I did it when it wasn't fashionable. let's make this clear.
And so like this whole metaverse thing, metaverse will never work, right? Yes, maybe the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg is making will never work, right? But there might be elements of it that might actually work, right?
Yeah, it's called Fortnite. That's working.
XR might be the future, right?
Which one's XR again? Is it blend?
It's okay. Yeah, or AR, just call it AR, right? AR okay. Is the future, right? Where we pass through, right? But now a lot of the VR devices are supporting pass through now, where you can actually see the physical world and do interesting things in the interesting world in the real world through your VR.
Yeah, everyone saw that coming.
So the tech is advancing and
catching up.
Small things. I see, you know, I follow a lot of VR and AR. Influencers and people that do like the work on that stuff daily, right? All the time, right? And they're making a lot of really cool stuff, right? This is like the infant stages, you know what I mean? And a lot of money is being spent, a lot of energy is being spent, right? To try to get this tech to a level that we think will become mass adoption.
Popularized, yeah.
A lot more has to happen. It is a big bet. Like you said, Zuckerberg is like Facebook's old people things, right? And that's why they're making a big bet to try to rejuvenate your imagination, right? And a lot right now, a lot of people are like, it'll never work. VR is this, VR is that. It's too expensive. It sucks. Big thing on my face right now, today. This tech is not what I want. Cool. But they're just dunking on it because it's fashionable and it will get you some Twitter likes, right? So, right? Maybe a retweet.
Hey, man, let me be clear. I was hating on them way before everybody else. All right, I was the pioneer hater.
There's a curve here. There's a curve here, though, right? Are they spending a lot of money? Hell yeah, they're spending a lot of money. They're spending way too much money. Should they be spending that much money? Hell no, they should not be spending that much money, right? But, you know, like this is also like...
You know what it is, though? It's going back to my original thing. You see like the 23-year-old working at Meta and what she's doing, it's everything that I've been saying. What's wrong with working from home for a lot of people in today's youth? Of what working is, right? It's minimum work at best, and it's about showing, you know, work instead of doing the work, right? It's all about showing work right now. And what you get are a lot of underachievers, right, who love to be pimping their shit, right, and not wanting to put in the work that is necessary to make something successful. That's the generation that we're dealing with. And that's how that, and that's the generation of developers, workers that we're celebrating. Like that's for whatever reason, these tech companies want those youngins in there because kids are the future, right?
The youth. The young kids, they can work to death and exploit for cheap money. That's why
It feels like Meta is being exploited right now. it's like 3.7 billion. What was the last time you heard of a gaming project, even a console, that cost that much
it's not any of those things what they're building, right? They're not building a game project, they're not building a console, right?
Which makes it even worse. That's way worse.
But there's
like when you tell me, like, hey, this was Fortnite, and we're gonna start piling more money to turn it into Battle Royale.
Supposedly,
it's like,
they're spending the money to build something bigger than those things.
Supposedly. Yeah. It's one of those classic scenarios, and I'll say it again over and over.
Yeah.
Meta is gonna be a jump pad for someone else to make things successful, right?
Of course. I think that's not a
Meta is going to be the graveyard of like without Meta basically going on the suicide financial run.
Yeah, I mean, you could be
the VR of today wouldn't have existed. No, that's what people would be saying.
Yeah, you 100% could be right. Right. They could be successful too, right? But yeah, they could fail, and then it could, it's just a stepping stone towards the future that somebody else builds upon, right? That's happened with so many other tech companies, right? And that's just how technology works, right? You know, you build upon the things. Oculus, the first Oculus device was built on previous work from that happened before. I had a VR headset when I was a kid, right? You know, and that was a long time ago, right?
Sounds like a long time.
And it was enormous, and it was and it was terrible, right? But that work, now years later, we have Oculus, right? So, like, that's just how technology works, right? So to say that, yeah, they're going to fail and then some other company is going to rise out of the ashes and be the one that solves the problem. Yeah, probably. Good chance.
Well, it's a
high probability, you know? Like,
it's just unfortunate because, you know, Facebook is still Facebook. Like you said, they're making a lot of money. Every 3 months, they're just spending a lot of money on...
Yeah.
To be honest, it's people, right? They have a lot of stupid people there. All right? Blanket statement. They have too many people that aren't doing much, right? For them to be basically spending $4 billion. Come on, right? On what, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you give me like a demo that they're doing inside and they're doing these research, even a glimpse just to kind of get the stocks back up, right? If they had that, you're telling me they're holding it back, right? And to marketing any of that? Yeah, I mean, to me, like, if sure, they have a lot of things under wraps, a lot of that money being spent we haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. But when you're in dire times, when everybody's questioning you, right? Your dad's best friend that financed you at the very beginning is questioning you and your decisions right now. You're telling me he wouldn't want to pull some of that out? That is really revolutionary, really exciting to get people jazzed and pumped about his vision.
Well, you don't want to show you don't want to show anything if you don't think it's going to work. You know what I mean?
Like, that's what I'm saying. So, like, what I'm
you have to be.
What they have under wraps, it's not much. It's not popping. Yeah, it's not looking good, right? I mean, it's just.
But I mean, that's R&D. That's what R&D is, right? You're always
R&D can be exciting, man, dude. Like, I look at. I mean, this is not news for the game industry, man. We look at R&D all the time, like empty promises, and it excites and hypes us to no end, to the point of buying the product and being disappointed. But they make their money.
Exactly.
Yeah, so hype, it's valuable.
You hype it, but you don't want to be too hyping, right? Because that's the double-edged sword, right? Because there's a lot of times where you get those CEO types that are always hyping up the new thing. And then the people in the office are like, oh no, what did he say? Oh no, right? What did he just promise? So, you know, and so it's a fine line that you have to balance, right? And then especially when you're a public company, there's extra fine line there, right? Because then, you know, there's all sorts of reporting rules and things like that and things that can affect this.
Yeah, it'll be one thing if everybody I know that works there would be saying to me, like, yo, what we're making here is magic, man. Straight up craziness. You need to join this team. Yeah. Right. Instead, what I'm getting is like, yo, I need to get the fuck out of here. I don't know what they're doing. I'm looking to I'm not looking to be on the streets with my family, right? In a couple of months. Like, this is bonkers right now.
Yeah.
So right? That just tells me whatever they're seeing that is not public isn't great either, right? And then the fact that their own guys are not even playing their own product is very telling about, like, it sucks. So it's just a shame to me that they have to be a stepping stone because they have so much money, so much potential, and supposedly, you know, all the avenues to hire the best people to make this work, and they can't seem to make it work. Like, that device that they put out just randomly, right? Was so disappointing, but also it was another sign of a desperate move, because it sounds like, and what's been rumored for so long, that Apple is just around the corner with their AR stuff, and any hardware they put out, they have the hype machine going. And it'll probably work. And I really do think Apple is going to break into this space and popularize it first, right? I really still think, you know, they're due for a new thing, right? It's kind of been updating old things for a while now. And like you said, you know, a lot of the smaller groups, indie types, hobbyists are making amazing things with this technology, right? Hibernating in the background. So there must be someone with some leverage and some financial backing, like Apple, that is utilizing those things and making something awesome, clean, and whatever, right? I hate the fact that every year there's a new VR device from Meta. I think that's a mistake, to be honest, right? They're making it a phone before people buy into the iPhone. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, I have like this device that I bought for $300 or $600 and it's already useless because it doesn't have the latest stuff. And it just makes me, who was an original backer, feel kind of cheated. You know what I mean? I bought the PC Oculus, or the latest one, right? And then like 2 months later, the standalone, right, the Oculus 2 was like, oh, you can just plug and make it work. I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, that sounds like a personal problem to me. That sounds like you're not being a conscientious consumer. That's what that sounds like.
You just made your own product useless, and whoever bought into it, you separated your own. Tech supporters.
Tech marches on, man. That's just what I'm gonna say. Tech marches on. So yeah, I think it will continue to march on. But I do, you know, I think Facebook not Meta not focusing on making just a gaming experience in a VR context that people get together and enjoy. That might be the mistake, you know, because Roblox is doing fine, Fortnite's doing good, right? Those are like kind of Roblox is like, you know, also has to user generate content, right? I think when you want to build stuff like this, you have to start small and build up, right? And I think Fortnite started small, built a game, and then all these virtual concerts and social things started kind of rolling in after the fact, right? So it's like a slow burn and a slow build. And I think maybe Meta is trying to swing for the fences, and there's a lot of unanswered questions that requires a lot of research.
A lot of
frustration and a lot of wasted money, and maybe maybe that's the wrong strategy, right?
It's definitely the wrong strategy. Like, it's still a lot of R&D, right? Yeah. And with R&D, you don't throw there's no ramp up to a $4 billion every 3 months payroll run, right? Yeah. It's like, what is the money being spent on? Like, people are obviously still trying to put their head around the tech, find what the right engagement, who's responding to what. You don't need a $4 billion every 3 months team to, if anything, there's too many cooks in the kitchen, right? To make any moves, because now you're looking at a lot of groups to get approval. Because it is a $4 billion every 3 months, every move counts, right? And precious, and you know, less risk is going to be taken for something that is supposedly very innovative. And if you're not allowing risk with small teams, usually, then you're quickly becoming irrelevant, right? So that's why I think their main problem is not putting more money into Metaverse, really. I mean, they shouldn't do that. The main problem is they need to find the soul of their company again. I feel like their culture right now is full of useless people. Forget the Meta team, right? The Metaverse team. What about their Facebook team, right? What about their Instagram team? Like each of these sites, WhatsApp. What's up with WhatsApp?
WhatsApp is all these keynotes, right?
Yeah, because of the Metaverse getting overemphasized. Like, I'm not hearing any updates of what's, you know, what happens is you don't update, you get pushed back, and there's going to be other competition that are smaller, nimbler, and hungrier.
Sure.
Going to overtake it, just like you know, TikTok is overtaking basically Instagram and Facebook. It's taking two of their titans down at once. Yeah. And Instagram is trying to be like TikTok because that's all these damn kids know how to do. They only know how to copy, right? Let's be honest. They're not innovating over there. It's like, hey, let me pull from my 3 years of experience of living life after college.
I mean, try to come up with something. I think a lot of these folks, they copied Snapchat, and now Snapchat is declining, and TikTok is on the rise, right? You know, like, what does it say? Good artist imitate great artist deal or something like that. You know, like, I think a lot of our ideas come from somewhere else, right? Sometimes it's just a straight up, oh, that's a good feature, we'll just put it into our thing now too, and goodbye. Yeah, happened with what's the other place? Clubhouse. Twitter was like, okay, we could do Twitter Spaces. See you later, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think it happens all the time, and yeah, it doesn't mean there's no
innovation. It happens all the time, but I think doesn't mean there's no
innovation there. Yeah, probably,
right? Bro,
but is it bad for the product? Yeah, probably long term, right? You know,
it's terrible for the product. Yeah. Like, there's something going on. I mean, I don't have to like sound the alarm. Like, people are, tech companies are leaving Silicon Valley, right? Silicon Valley for a long time. The top people over there have been complaining that it's regurgitating and not innovating anymore, right? It's little cities there are being run by these techies, gentrifying like these cities, right, into their own. And it's like a lot of the same views, right? Not a lot of real diversity, right, in terms of opinions, right? And backgrounds.
Hold on. You just said real diversity in terms of opinions. I think that is a flaming hot take. But
all right, this is what I mean, right?
What's real diversity?
All right. First of all, I'm on your side, right? I'm talking about like cultural diversity, difference of opinion. I think what made Silicon Valley special is like there was a lot of innovation, a lot of people coming together to make something cool, right?
But it wasn't diversity that they were doing
back. No,
then, right? It wasn't diversity at all.
Right. But what's hurting it right now is that we're recycling and imitating what we thought was tech geniuses, right? There's a look now, there's an attitude, there's a demeanor. It's kind of like the people are going there, and it's like, this is how techies are. So when I look at these posts from these young techies, right, quote unquote, compared to actual young techies that were starting Google, that were starting Facebook, they were doing all these things, right? It's not a surprise to me that these products in that area have been fizzling, right? And that an outsider, right, like TikTok, came into the space and actually delivered something that was different, right? I mean, it's derivative, right? You can definitely trace the DNA of TikTok from other things and see that trend going forward. But like for them at Instagram and Snapchat not be able to kind of get there first with the resources they have. I mean, it's a natural evolution, like you said. Tech moves on. Right. There's always other companies that are going to come in and innovate.
Companies that get big, you know, it's an organizational challenge.
They move slow.
They become very, very slow. And so a smaller company can come in and execute really, really fast, right? If they have a really clear vision of what they want to build. I think in some cases you hear stories of like some little small, little nimble company coming in and do something crazy. And then when you hear the whole story, is usually like they tried five different things and they all failed, and then they ended up.
They failed fast. Yeah.
Kind of like the story of the story of Figma is actually really interesting, right? And Figma just got bought by a whole bunch of money, right? But like, they actually built something entirely different.
What are they? For those who don't know, I know about it, but I don't.
Well, if you don't buy it, you should be able to say what it is then.
No. What is it? I really don't know. I was just kidding.
Figma is a web-based design tool, right? That designs for you know, you can do interface design with it and things like that. Right. It's kind of
not like for websites, right? What are you saying?
No, it's web based. It's in the cloud, right? So it's kind of like a competitor to XD.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and they came in and a lot of people started using because it was lightweight, efficient, cloud based, right, etc. Right. It was just innovative and spot on for a market and supplied usefulness for that market, right? But their story, like they made a different app before Figma, you know, but then they landed on Figma and then got bought and the rest is history, right? But it's actually a long arc of different things. But because it's a small company, yeah, they're able to move it and make something happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, just like any industry, that seems to be the case, right? Yeah. It's just usually the smaller ones are the more innovative. They're looking at the most efficient way of doing things and, you know, just more likely. Well, I mean, this is the argument that I always hear, right? I feel like innovation comes from being uncomfortable, right? So smaller teams who are not having that open cafeteria, lounge chairs as desk chairs, you know, sleep pods right around the corner.
I bet you any money that like even the smallest tech company has some sort of like outlandish tech perks that nobody has ever dreamed of, right? Of course, they ain't going to be Facebook and Google level tech perks, right? But they all have tech perks.
Something like that.
You should talk to somebody who's not in the tech industry and ask them about their job, right?
My sister-in-law is an accountant.
Yeah. You get a completely different view of what other people get for their office perks, right? But like, any tech company, even the smallest one, it's like, okay, yeah, we'll buy you five employees lunch, you know, right? Like, and a company buying you lunch at some other job is completely unheard of, right?
Yeah, it's
you'd be lucky if you get a Christmas party, let alone.
Yeah, I get it. I'm constantly evaluating, right? Of what a creative company and how it should operate. Because you do too much comfort stuff, you lose the innovation, you lose the drive, right? And
I don't believe that to be true. Like I just know I do not want to work for you. That's all I
know. Well, let me say this, right? I feel like the creative mind needs a little discomfort, right? Yeah, especially if there's a deadline, a very real deadline, right? There are tech companies that are very comfortable that isn't always needing to push to the bleeding edge, right? For smaller companies, they need to push to the bleeding edge to kind of separate from the rest. But also there's a very real time limit to how long they can do things because money runs out faster, right?
Money runs out, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously it's not one or the other extremes. You know, the middle is obviously the best of both worlds. And I celebrate and congratulate those companies that can get to that space. But like when we're talking about Meta, who I feel is on the extreme version of spending and not doing shit, right? I obviously it's hurting them and it sucks because I was looking, like many, when Meta bought Oculus, it was a validation of that space. It was like, finally, this can be fully realized. This innovative tech can be fully realized, treated seriously, and be popularized and live on, right? And not like the Nintendo virtual world, right? It's just so disappointing that they went too hard and I know we have a lot of game friends there, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe because they're being over what do you call it when you when a presidential rejects like a bill or something? What is that called?
Oh, vetoed.
Yeah. So they're being vetoed. They're being vetoed by these non-gamers, right? Because
the way you're saying this is hilarious. These non. It's hilarious.
Zero, What game developer actually thinks that's a good idea, dude? You're either very old, right? All right. Out of touch, correct? Right. And you're just straight up just thinking what's, it's like your dad telling you what's, describing you what's cool, right? That's what Horizon World looks like to me. It's just like a bunch of old people telling us, like, this should be fun. This is how fun should look like.
Yeah, to put a pit, we've been talking about this forever, right? But to put a pit on it, I think the to sum it up in a much nicer way is, I think we believe, yeah, you should have, there should be some sort of time boxing on things that we do. We should have some sort of deadline to say we have to produce something tangible by a certain date.
You should also straight up be like Twitter and fire 75% of the workforce.
No, you should not do that. And there should be accountability, right? To make sure that you hit what you need to deliver in this time window.
What the goals are, yeah.
Yeah, what are the goals, right? And then maybe things will move a little bit smoother and faster, and you make better decisions, right? You could make decisions about, should these people still be here, right? If you really have proper accountability and really clear goal setting, right?
I feel like they should publicize a roadmap, man. Yeah. Because for those who are on the fence, it would be nice to see, like, what's your plan for the next year?
Yeah, I think that's a way better way of summing it up than saying, y'all over there getting massages and are soft.
Like, oh yeah, I think anybody's
like, come on now, right?
that's listening to this podcast or like right now that is sitting in the lounge chair at Meta should be fired. It's like, they should be gone. I mean, that's like 70% right there. Anyways, I mean, we can always go back to this. I think for a while, it's always going to be a thing. It's disappointing, but I really do think they're on the deep decline. I don't think Meta's going to hit that 10-year mark where return on investment actually gets realized. I really think it's going to be shortened. I mean, resources are already being cut from their roadmap, right? It sounds like they're shifting things around now, right? When you shift things around.
Yeah, I just think it's impossible to really, like, the whole return on investment thing, like, I don't even know if that's possible, right?
I think Apple's going to do just fine. I do want to just touch on this last topic before we call it. You know, I've been looking into a numerous amount of topics regarding new people entering the industry, right? Students particularly, right? Out of college, I can only imagine, and I've spoken to some that are struggling. I mean, the competition's higher. If anything, the recruiters are more open arms. There's a lot of positions that are basically opening up. The industry is growing, right? A lot of games are being greenlit, right? It's an exciting time to be a game developer, but because of the remote thing, because of working from home being such a strong option for a lot of these companies, I generally do feel that employers are looking for maturity with that. And that usually comes with a certain age, right? And I feel like people who are older are having a better time than those out of college, because I think as an employer, you simply just want some kind of discipline, and some life experience usually helps with that. What are you seeing out there for those that are curious about this? We do have a lot of students that listen in.
Yeah, I mean we talked about this a little bit earlier and before we started rolling, right? And I'm not seeing that at all, really. I'm seeing it. And I don't know, like, I think the game industry is just hard to get into, period, right? So, like, recruiters open arm to people straight out of school for the video game industry, I think it's like,
no, not that, but like, they're more willing.
Hell no, right? Because that's never been like that, right? But what I am seeing, like because of the current economic situation, companies, there's a ton of hiring freezes. There's you know,
that's true.
including entry level roles, and there's a ton of like, oh, we gotta get through this year and see what happens next. When we get new budget next year, we'll open some headcount, right? I'm seeing a lot of that, right? Even like my phone is not ringing as much as it used to, right? Because of all these hiring freezes in the current economy, people are not necessarily looking for something right now. They're looking to cut workforce right now. And you see the layoffs are happening, right?
Yeah.
And I, there's a bunch of students that I teach and that I mentor and that I talk to pretty regularly. And, you know, all of them are having a hard time getting any job in tech at all right now and being told, yeah, it's a hard time right now. You know, like maybe headcount, we'll have some headcount next year. Right. So I'm not necessarily seeing like employers like which person out of high school should I pick? Cause I have such a huge amount of jobs ready and willing to go. And I need people that are mature that can work from home. Yeah. I don't even think it's getting that far. The economy is.
Yeah. Not out of school. And I do.
That's right now. Yeah.
Like now that you mentioned it, it does sound like more mid-level and seniors are going to get rich out. But like this is something, you know, we did mention, you know, we had the great resignation. Everybody was going crazy hiring spree. Everybody was basically having it was in the employee space of like, you know, I want to live in a farm. These are my conditions. It's like, okay, whatever you want, man. Yeah. It was like that last year. And I told you things were going to turn around as soon as one big layoff happens. And it's just been cascading ever since, you know, because obviously that huge incline of hiring, right, means like the opposite will happen to balance things out, because now you have a lot of people in Amazon warehouses. Like, we don't need that many people, right? So like it's happening across the industry. It's like, we don't need as many people because things are slowing down. Yeah. And layoffs are happening, and people who migrated, congratulations. But I do see also, like you said, to kind of support what you're seeing, that, you know, there are already talks about or even statistics and polls being asked to managers, like, hey, you know, in a situation where you have to lay off, who would you rather choose, remote people or people who come in the office? And by a good percentage, it's remote people would be the first rounds of layoff because, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, no, but I wouldn't. Yeah, they didn't ask me because I would give them a different answer.
Well, yeah, you're exception to the rule. You guys have always been remote, right? But like people that were regularly in the office all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, naturally, if you're, you know, buddy and you see someone every day, you miss that presence, like, and it's the same position, you know, you, of course you would pick the person who's not there that you barely see with an attitude on Zoom, right? It's like, come on.
I mean, I think it just depends on what their usefulness is and what work they're doing. And that's how you make those kind of decisions.
Well, there's another data that supports work from home isn't working as well, right? Yeah. And I don't want to dive too into it, but like, you know, I saw this article earlier in the week where they basically took, you know, pre-COVID, post-COVID in terms of communications and scheduling and generally hitting deadlines. And obviously post-COVID, tons of delay, percentages were productivity is a little lower. As a team, individually it might be better, but as a team, because of communication, it made it tougher to kind of reach the same goals. But what was interesting, they actually pulled people who continued to go in the office, like Nintendo in Japan, right? A lot of companies like that continued even in COVID times to show up at the office, and they only showed everybody across the board had numerous delays, right? But like Nintendo and the in-office companies that were still meeting each other, only half, right? Versus like 75% mm-hmm. of companies that were fully work from home.
Yeah, I think that's missing a few elements, you know, like during COVID, people's kids weren't going to school.
Yep.
Right. And so we were juggling kids at home while trying to be working. Right. So I don't consider that as like the most ideal home setup. Right. And then some people weren't even set up to be able to work from home. Right. So I saw all sorts of setups like, oh, I'm in the kitchen, like, you know, leaning on the counter trying to do work, or I'm, you know, I'm in like cocked up in some corner somewhere so that the kids don't make noise. So I can do this meeting real quick.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I think you definitely have more of a empathy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a whole lot of Zoom fatigue, because then of course you can actually see people face to face. And so then like Zoom fatigue, man, hits you. Like when you're just like, I'm on these Zoom calls all day long, like that hits you pretty hard, you know?
I get that.
So there's a lot of factors with that, you know.
Those are definitely a factor.
When people talk about remote work, like people that actually have been doing remote work before the pandemic, like it works for certain people and doesn't work for other people. You know what I mean?
I think people who are discipline works very well. Just like showing in the office, there's obviously a crowd that performs really well and other crowds who are just counting the clock just to get by. And like I mentioned many times before, that just got exaggerated in COVID. Nothing changed. It's just that their personalities and their workmanship get exaggerated, right? And I'll just talk about United States alone. I'll take the aggressive stance. I think people are lazy, right? So I think generally across the board, people were hiding even harder. I mean, I had friends that rather continued to be on unemployment, right? Taking unemployment checks than rather getting a job because they were getting paid more in unemployment checks. And so they were riding that for a year and a half, right? Well, kudos that they got away with that shit. But like that, I feel like that's the general attitude, though, for most people who, if they can see an opportunity to take advantage, they will take advantage. And unfortunately, the creative side, I don't think a lot of people were used to freelancing and hustling after their 8-hour jobs, 40 hours, right? I do see those people being very efficient, right? People who are used to doing remote working, doing extra stuff on the side, basically valuing their time, right? Continue to do excellent work.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the majority of our industry, particularly, I don't think they did that. And I think they're struggling.
I think we talked about this before. And I just think,
like, hey man, I got pandemic, some data to back up what I've been
talking. I think pandemic just made people like really, really reprioritize their lives, you know what I mean? And like there's that whole stupid trend of quiet quitting and like I'm just gonna do the bare minimum, right? I will agree that like when you're remote working, it's a lot easier to do the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Do the bare minimum, do your job, you still get paid, right? You're accomplishing your goals, you're just not going the extra mile, right? And I think for a lot of, instead of putting a lot of blame on the workers and laziness, right? Like, what about the job? What is the job doing, right? That will incentivize
people
to be excited and to want to go the extra mile and to want to pour their heart and soul into their job. What is the job doing, right? Is the job putting them in the right roles? Is the job giving them the right opportunities, right? I think we put a little bit too much. I might sound like a bleeding heart socialist or something like that right now, but like, you know, I think we're putting too much emphasis in all the workers. Y'all just some bunch of lazy MFers, right?
But it's half half. It's half half.
But it's like, is that really the full story there? Is that really the trend? You know, and especially in the game industry, you want me to do what for the game industry? As much as we talk about how the game industry treats its employees,
yeah,
I think you're crazy, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Anyways, I think we're looking at two individuals that are doing very well working from home, and everybody else mostly aren't. Right, is what I'm saying.
I'll say for me, it's just changed.
Everyone else is working at Meta.
It's changed a lot for me, man, and it's made me a lot more
aware,
pleasant person. It's I've lost weight.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, you look good, dude.
It's been great. Yeah.
No, I think it's here to stay in some capacity. I still think most companies are fighting to like you said, you know, I don't think everyone is as thoughtful as you to kind of look at these different factors of why productivity is hurting the company. Their immediate response is kind of like what I'm yelling about. It's like, yo, get everyone back in the office like it was before. Yeah. But it's never going to be like that. And in the very much same way, no, not everyone's going to sit down and really evaluate like what factors can we tweak besides calling everyone back to the office, right? And it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. Much like Meta, I think the bunch that aren't performing, that are cheating the system in a way, are kind of hurting it for the rest of us, right? I really do think there's a lot of good, efficient, life-changing things that are happening for people that are putting in the time, putting in the work, being efficient. And I just hope everyone else get into the program. It's very hard to me because I see a lot of unmotivated people sometimes that that don't look at themselves, right, as why, and they look externally for reasons why they don't want to perform. And in the end, it's a privilege. I think a lot of people are kind of dismissing that too much. I mean, the options of like the world as your oyster was awesome last year, where people were given the time to kind of reevaluate their lives, reprioritize their lives, right? The honeymoon's over, I think. Stop fucking around right now and settle with what you got. Yeah.
No, I definitely think you're right that the pendulum is swinging back. I think the economic, I keep saying economic conditions.
Yeah.
Have really made it. Like if you're, you know, some people even told me, hey, I'm starting to think about looking for a new job or something like that. I'm like, I don't know. I would kind of keep my doing? Job right now.
Not right now. Yeah, right. You're crazy.
But it might work for some people, but like, I don't know. Like right now the pendulum might be swinging.
Pure statistic wise, right? I think it worked for anything, for big changes. We're talking about sub 10%, and that's being gracious, right? So if you're not the top 10% of whatever you're doing and who you are in your circle, don't be doing that. Like, don't take crazy risks and think that you're going to come out,
yeah,
you know, amazing. It's just like false. I don't know if it was some kind of propaganda. I don't know if there's anything behind why. Well, maybe it's just people purely just seeing their friends doing it and it gives them courage, right? And I just don't like seeing that many people basically out of a job, living on a farm and having a hard time, right? It's just like last year was the year to experiment. It's not
like fun.
It's not like that anymore. Yeah. Well, I just don't like seeing good game developers just throw away a good thing. I've been seeing that, like a lot of people leaving long, like stable 9-year Naughty Dog jobs, right? And they're like at this unknown place. It's like, what are you doing? Like, this is,
I mean, I can see people doing that.
I can see people doing that, but only a small percentage are going to succeed, right?
Well, like, yeah, just but I'll, statistics. I'm all for people doing things for their mental health and their happiness, right?
So, of course.
So I could totally see that. It's all I will say.
Well, have a 5-year plan like Zuckerberg. All right, you don't want to crash and burn quicker than you anticipated. All right. Well, Ray, it's always a pleasure talking with you, educating, showing me what empathy looks like towards others. I know I'm outlandish. I know I say and speak freely, right? And it's good and bad that I get validated sometimes of how it turns out. But overall, I think the message here is that, hey, you know, mental health is first and foremost. You know, personal happiness always, first and foremost. Always. But just like any type of success, you know, really sit down and plan it out. You know, don't just go on a whim and take crazy risks, especially with how times are like Ray said, the pendulum is shifting the other way.
Yeah.
You know, hiring freezes is not the time to you basically prepare for the winter, right? Don't do anything crazy. No set big goals, moves. Wait it out a bit.
Set goals. Yeah. Take accountability for yourself, and you know, and just do what you need, right?
Hoard, due diligence, guys.
Hoard cash.
Oh, not cryptos anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely not crypto right now.
But, yeah. The amount of people the last year, maybe a year and a half. It was like, what are you doing? You should be buying crypto right now. It's like, I don't even understand what it is. Is it fake money? It's like, it makes no sense to me. Like, why would I trade real money for fake money? And it's all like always shifting up and down based on hype.
You need to have a crypto person come on your podcast talk to you about that.
And then they're talking about NFT. It was such a crazy to live through a time like that. I know they say that every 8 years, there's always like this crazy tech hype that happens, right? Mm-hmm. And then falls apart. But to live through that and somewhat recognize how silly things there were, and people really buying into it, like putting hundreds of thousands of dollars
it might,
in it.
It might still reemerge when the market goes back up.
To me, it's very clear as day that the first people that were buying NFT, that were buying crypto, were pumping and dumping, right? It was very clear to me, like all these ridiculous gifts of monkeys being bought for $100,000. It was like, oh man, these guys were just investing money and selling it just to get that fake industry up, and then they bailed as soon as it, and the people, you know, were left with, this is a classic stock technique. This is just like people are left with their purses, and it's just so funny. We didn't empty purses. Yeah. And then we didn't touch on this, and maybe next time, you know, seeing Will Wright with his NFT game that came out, I was like, you're a bit late on this.
If you're looking for the new thing, the new frontier, something that hasn't been done before, right? There's a lot of alluring things out there, you know? And I think metaverse, NFT, that whole, and how those things also intersected, play to earn, all that. Oh, that's new. That's different. That's not the same old thing. It's appealing to people when they're looking for what is the next big thing.
Well, it's the gold rush, right? It's a get rich scream. It's buying a lotto ticket,
and there's money there for you to get funding to try to see what your thing could do, right? So
easy money is like very alluring to the common person, and I think the road to success is always the same. It's just do your homework, work hard, and then slowly obtain those goals. And it's the same for every generation and for any decade. So, like you, man, deep down, I hope things work out. Like, I know I'm very cynical, right? Some of it's for show. A lot of it is I really do feel this way. It does upset me that billions of dollars are put into something that can actually be, place somewhere else that really can grow the industry, right? And I don't know how many game companies that every 3 months that Zuckerberg could be investing in that actually can produce money, and then instead basically spending on these crappy people that he hired. And it's disappointing, to me, not to completely put it on him, the trust that he placed on the people is killing him. In the company, it just sucks that.
I mean, from the movie Paid in Full, my boy Cameron said, "This is kind of a remix of what he said." People waste money every day. People waste money every day.
I guess what I'm saying is, give me some of that. How do I get in on that action? Right. Well, every $3 billion is like Willy Wonka giving out. $4 billion worth of money to game devs. It's like, I'm not seeing any of it. And it upsets me, I guess, as I'm evaluating what my inner thoughts are. It upsets me that none of that is coming my way. And I can make something,
Keep grinding, and then maybe one day
can
get a billion.
One day I'll be across the table. And I was like, hey, Horizon World kind of sucks. I can make you an actual virtual world that people want to hang out in. Whatever. Never understand it. All right. Ray, always a pleasure. Where can the good people find you? Right. On social media. What's cool now?
It's on Twitter.
Oh, Twitter's awesome,
water,
man. Huh?
Water ass, W-A-D.
You gonna pay $8 to get verified, Ray?
Hell no. I'm not gonna die. Other people could do that. I'm not doing nothing like that. And then of course, yeah, LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn as
well. Okay. All right. As usual, connect with Ray, give your opinions to him, meme him, whatever, send him his way. We're always looking forward to everyone's take on what we talk about. That is it. Until next time, guys. See ya.